I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
You hope for, you look for, you dream of a regular season when nobody beats you. And right now, it's official. Final score, Oregon 49, Washington 21.
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. Oregon versus Washington.
We've lost our in-state rivals. We'll never be competitive again. Like, we need to hate each other. And we need to be at each other's throats.
It's Rivalry Week on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Welcome in. Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
What is happening?
How you doing?
It's a Tuesday / Thursday. You guys ready for a short work week?
Oh, it is a Tuesday. Yeah,
it's also our Thursday. It's almost Friday tomorrow. Are we going to play our Friday song tomorrow morning?
No.
No, you don't want to do that?
No. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
I think for a lot of people, it was already Friday. I don't think a lot of people are working this week. That's an empty parking lot when I'm showing up in the morning.
Yeah. We like to comment on weather and traffic a lot here on the show.
We're getting old.
Yeah.
The things we complain about.
I will tell you right now, I know this yesterday, and I noticed it even more today. I think 88% of America is taking the week off.
Yes.
I was at a grocery store at 11 a.m. yesterday, I don't know if I've seen it ever busier than that.
Oh, this is the busiest week.
Yeah.
This week's busier than Christmas week.
Without a doubt.
Because somebody... Yeah, everybody's cooking this.
General shopping is a little busier the week before Christmas. Like, department, all that kind of stuff is chaos when you go to the mall.
Everybody's out and doing stuff. But as far as the grocery store itself, I got to go today and get stuff for the things that I'm cooking at various.
I was just grabbing random groceries, not even Thanksgiving.
You needed things for the week.
And it was just insane.
I need dinner for Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And it's going to take me about an hour and a half to get the hell out of here, dude. It's the worst week in the world to go to the grocery store. Avoid it like the plague at all costs, if you can.
Yeah, I would say for the most part.
Because it's only going to, that's Monday and Tuesday, it's only going to get worse. Like, if you thought it was bad yesterday, wait till this evening. When people who are still working get off of work and go, God, I can't even imagine.
I'm not touching it tomorrow.
No, stay away.
I left later today than I have in a long time.
It's that week.
It was a late night, so I wanted to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah, a couple more Z's before you get up.
And I looked at my watch, and I made a little breakfast for myself. I'm like, oh my God, I need to get on the road. And I got on the road, and I'll tell you, I got here in 18 minutes, and I was driving largely the speed limit.
Yeah.
There was nobody on the road.
It's that kind of week, man. I left yesterday and looking around the parking lot. I think our compatriots here in the building are just taking the entire week off. No cars to be seen. None of them are.
Oh, yeah.
Not that it's full when we get in the morning, but there's a handful of them that are here around the same time as us. And so some of the premier parking spots are gone when we arrive occasionally. And those things are wide open right now.
Could you guys make a really strong argument? I don't even know if you need to make an argument. Mm-hmm. We could make a real good case, though, in America. I went through this with the sales staff the other day last week, that like this week is a pointless week of work for people who do actually go to work.
Very true. Not a lot of productivity.
Can't imagine there's a lot of productivity.
Yeah, people aren't getting stuff done.
I'm not going to name names, but I had to do some production stuff yesterday after the show, like a lot of it. Yeah. And I was talking to a coworker that was helping me with it. And he told me that music labels, as he was told, basically shut down in mid-October. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, well, there's no new music.
No.
No.
Labels are not pushing albums anymore past mid-October. They're just taking the album you probably already own, and they're repackaging and saying, the Christmas Deluxe Edition.
Ooh, yeah. We got a new Greatest Hits album.
So, like, music directors and people in the FM music side of things, they literally have nothing new coming their
unless
way
you're
the last two
unless
months
you're
of the year.
Promoting or actually doing live events.
Right, outside of, like, that.
Sure. But,
yeah, like, new music. It doesn't exist, he said.
No.
I was like, what?
Well, it makes sense. Why would you release an album this time of year when everybody's listening? Not everybody, but the majority of people are listening to one genre of music.
Yeah.
Everybody's this is that time of year. Like, it's that's all you're going to play for the majority of the time you're in the car.
I mean, I get it, but, like, to hear that it starts in mid-October and that basically the labels stop working for the last 2 months of the year is kind of nuts.
Just pack it in, go home. We'll see you in January.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that's what happened.
Everybody will take down there. Yeah, that's a good industry to be in because it's like a teacher, except you get winter off.
I was going through this with the delightful Joe Fisher. I was talking to the sales staff last week about vacation, and I was like, oh, you guys get, because I'm trying to talk to them, right? I'm trying to, like, you know, bring up their spirits. They just seem so quiet and to themselves, and some of them look depressed.
They need a morale boost over there from time to time.
You know,
just a little pick-me-up, a little smile on the face.
I'm an idiot, so I can provide something, right? So I go over there, and I'm talking.
Dance clown.
Right. And, you know, they're giving me absolutely nothing in terms of conversation. And I'm talking to Joe Fisher, and I go, you guys got your vacation requests in. About half of them respond. The other half just continue to act like they don't hear me in a crowd of seven people. And Fisher's talking to me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty much out the last 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah, it's usually what we do.
We work most of the year. We don't take a whole lot of days off as a show, but the last end of the year, like, we'll do the Ducks Monday show after their first playoff game, and then we'll see you January 5th. And Fisher goes, well, it must be nice. We don't get that here at the sales department. And I go, first of all, we get the same amount of days off as each other. We're in the same system. Second of all, are you working the 26th?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. You think clients are answering phones on the 26th? You think people are in the office answering emails?
Here's where it gets funny.
So nobody's working.
Fish is trying to dunk on me as if I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm not in the sales department. And I'm like, nobody's going to work the 24th.
No.
Nobody's going to work the 23rd.
Nope.
Nobody's going to work the 26th.
Nope.
You might as well take the whole week off. And then I dare you to come back on the 2nd and you tell me what kind of business you snag on the 2nd of January on a Friday.
That's right.
That's zero, my man. And he keeps countering. And eventually, I notice sales staff members, they start thinking about what I'm saying. They go,
pulling up their calendars. I got to start requesting some days off here.
I'll just give you one right here. My God, Brandon, I got to get my vacation in.
Brandon, you are right. What am I working?
It was basically like people realizing, like, what business are we going to accomplish on the 26th of December?
You learn a lot of things the longer you're in radio, of tendencies and habits and when people are around and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, one of the shows that we finally won on that we battled for years was the Labor Day show.
Yes.
Where there would be the opening weekend of college football, and so our old boss would want us to come in and do a show, and we would rail constantly about the audience just isn't there. People are on the road.
Not there.
Schools
There's
not
actually
out yet.
Games played on Labor
There's
Day.
Things that are happening. People are camping. You're hiking. You're going to the beach. You're like, why? And then we come in the next day and we do the same exact show. And it's just a pointless 2 day thing.
Yeah.
And we finally won that argument, and now we get Labor Day off. And we don't do shows on that day anymore. The other one for me has been the 5th of July. That is a permanent day off for me because, one, our time slot. We don't get to sleep because fireworks are late.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people build the holiday into 2 days. There's just not a lot of productivity that day. I will never forget, this was probably 3 or 4 years ago, you and I staggered our vacation time where I think I took like either the week of Christmas or the week before off, and then you took the week after Christmas off. And so we each had one solo week. And I'll never forget doing shows the week after Christmas just like, hello? Is anybody out there?
Yeah.
Is anybody working right now? Especially in the morning time. It's different, like, maybe in the middle of the day, because people get up. If you're off work, you're running errands, or you're returning gifts. Maybe you're tuning in, and Christmas music has kind of died down because it's after the holiday. But for this slot, the week after Christmas, it was an absolute ghost town, man.
Yeah.
I said, doing that again.
Yeah, the only thing that'll throw a wrinkle into that this year is how far the Ducks may be going in the college football
playoff. They could still be playing. Got to get there first. They could still be playing.
That's the only wrinkle.
Well, I'm just going to say this because we've talked about it off the air, and I want to bring it to the light. If they go to the playoff and presume they don't go to the Big Ten title game, right? And that we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that it require Ohio State has to lose to Michigan.
Right. They will host a first round playoff game, more likely than not.
More likely than not.
And so if they get past Washington and host a playoff game, like we fully transparently put 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of December in, we will do a show on the 22nd. I will bump a vacation day to do the 22nd. And I cannot speak to what he's going to do. You will not catch me on January 2nd.
Come on, get your ass in here.
For any kind of show.
Get your ass in here.
Nope.
The hell's the matter with
because
you?
Because those takes will largely not be heard, and I will talk to you on the 5th. We will respond to what happens on the new year on the 5th.
Hey, it's already time for the semifinals. We missed the quarterfinals, man.
There doesn't need to be a preview for the next round. We will talk about what we see, because guess what? It'll be, you never know who's going to win this game.
You never know. Could go either way.
It's Alabama, Oregon. Anything goes. It's the playoff. It's football, man. Football's football, man.
What's key to the game, man?
Yeah, it's stop the wide receiver. Pass rush. Previews are the dumbest thing in sports radio, and I hate when everybody tries to pretend to do them. We talk about the game.
We do.
We'll highlight, like, I find interesting this, but, like, the whole, like, prediction stuff, it's so stupid because you end up looking like an idiot half the time.
Nah, I know what's going to happen in every game. I'll plan it out for you.
And I remember that week you're talking about, we staggered because I had taken the previous year, that following week after Christmas, I had worked.
You knew.
And I learned the hard way.
You didn't warn me. Where was the heads up? Dirk, don't do it, man. Don't do it.
You were like, we got to stagger. The boss really wants it. I'm like, who cares what the boss wants? Take it off, man.
Nah, I'm not going to be here that week.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping there'll be somebody filling in for you.
Yeah, we'll figure it
play
out.
Play an Ash. I don't care. Play a national show. Stop overthinking it.
Let's get some dogs barking jingle bells during our time slot. We did used to be the buzz. You know, let's return to our
play
buzz
some
days.
Christine Aguilera.
Some Christine Aguilera Christmas music for 4 hours. Maybe the moms will be pumped about that.
Yeah, maybe they will.
It'll be good numbers for the ladies.
Maybe they will. Bring them back in and then trick them again on the 5th of
and
January.
And then we show back up. Format change. Snip, snap. Now we're back talking sports.
That would be funny. I bet the people in Vancouver or Battleground, wherever that angry message board conversation was.
I miss 105.1. What happened to Kelly Clarkson? She died again?
No. Nope. She's alive. We're still here.
No, she's here.
Yeah.
She's part of us.
No. We'll just have to put it into the rejoiner music. We'll make you happy, Karen. Don't worry. We're here for you. By the way, super underrated Kelly Clarkson Christmas singer.
I think Kelly Clarkson's a super underrated musical talent.
No. I agree with that. Yeah. I'm talking specifically in the genre of stuff.
The genre of Christmas.
It's a lot of old time, and Mariah Carey's been feasting on her Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson has entered the conversation of, hey, Mariah, make a little room.
Ooh,
I'm Kelly Clarkson.
I'm going to go hip to hip.
Now, does Kelly Clarkson have a signature holiday original? The way that Mariah does.
Let me look it up, and maybe it's not, because you guys know how bad with music I am. Like, I listen to music, but I don't remember anything about music. She has one that's constantly on the rotation of my Apple Music because of my kids.
Okay.
And it sounds like an original. It's certainly not a song that I can recall hearing
it's
a whole
not,
lot.
Yeah, it's not a cover of a traditional.
It's not Jingle Bells.
Right. No, or,
we
no,
know
no,
the,
no,
the
no,
staples.
No. I mean, she sings those, too.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
If you're going to dive into that industry.
You can't, yeah. You're not doing a whole album of original Christmas music.
Yeah, I got to look it up.
When was the last time an entire album of original Christmas music was made?
Bing Crosby, when he invented half the Christmas.
When he wrote all the songs in 1945, that's the last time we got it. That's
Nat
wild
King
to think
Cole,
about.
I don't know.
Because you're right that artists will come out with their own individual songs.
Yeah, but you'll one.
Right, the Beach Boys or the Beatles or you know.
Wham.
Was Underneath the Tree an original?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. You said, I don't, and then you said no in a way that you remember.
Yeah, I had a Bill Shatner pause there. I apologize.
Yeah, that's the song I'm thinking of.
Underneath the Tree?
Underneath the Tree. It's a delightful little Christmas song. If that's
No, it's an original.
Okay.
There you
original
go.
Christmas
there you go.
Song written by Kelly Clarkson.
It's
released
good.
In 2013.
There we go.
It's good. It's catchy.
Her first Christmas album was Wrapped in Red.
Yeah.
Hey.
No, she's good.
I'm pro Kelly Clarkson.
I have
me too.
No problem with Kelly Clarkson.
You guys
singing.
Consume her talk show?
Every once in a while, it's accidentally on my TV, and I'll watch 5 minutes of it.
There are no accidents, Andrew.
Like, you turn it on, and that's the channel it's on. You're like, oh, that's right. Kelly Clarkson's got a talk show. This is interesting.
Far and away, the best Idol winner. The very first one?
Carrie Underwood's had a pretty good career.
That's right. She's doing a halftime show.
She was Idol.
Did she win?
Clark's
Yes.
Underwood. Underwood. Did Carrie Underwood won?
Clarkson.
Yes. Clarkson won.
She's
I know
the first
that.
Winner.
I couldn't remember if Underwood won too. But I think those are probably the two best careers.
Those are the two best ones.
Yeah, but I was disappointed in Carrie. Yeah, not pro Carrie.
Well, like, why are you doing that weird?
Is she? I thought they canceled the halftime show.
Did they cancel it?
I don't know.
I thought it was her and Lee. What's his name?
Lee Greenwood. No, I think Bad Bunny's still on. I think the NFL.
Well, I know Bad Bunny is still on.
We're
talking
about the alternate halftime show that Snowflakes.
There was only one alternate halftime show ever that slayed, and it was in living color, and it was.
Hold on. Pause. First of all, your very first use of the word slay. Great job.
Yes.
I mean, just phenomenal slay. Placement by you there.
Well
Good
done.
Job.
Well done.
Second of all.
Very hip of you.
I don't believe that was an alternate. I don't believe they had actually taken halftime seriously because prior to that, it was largely band music. So the In Living Color show is what inspired the halftime show. Because people actually went and watched
In Living Color. Changing the channel, yeah.
And then the next year, the NFL said, no, you're
Wasn't
not.
Wasn't it Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson was the very next year.
That's a pretty big one.
That's a
I remember seeing
one.
A story, too, about his halftime show that he loved. Because I think that game was at the Rose Bowl, if I'm not wrong. I think it was a Rose Bowl game.
I believe you're right.
And how there was the guy who produced the halftime show for television. That was a big deal to finally have something like that go down. And Michael Jackson loved to pause for anticipation, kind of build up the energy. And so they put him on stage. If you go back and watch it, he literally stood on stage in silence for like 15 to 20 seconds.
Which is an eternity.
On live TV, and the crowd's freaking out. And the producer behind the scenes is like, what's he doing? What's he doing? Why isn't he singing? What's happening? Why isn't anything happening? And then he launches into his routine, and it became one of the most notable halftime shows of all time.
By the way, pretty remarkable career for our girl Carrie Underwood. She finished fourth in that contest.
Oh. Whoa, fourth.
Fourth in
05. Not even a finalist.
No.
Wow, down in the semis. And now she's waiting all day for Sunday night.
Now I'm curious who won that year and how much better her career is than that person.
Was that Clay Aiken? Was he in one of those winners?
Clay Aiken didn't win.
He didn't win either.
He lost to Reuben Studdard.
Reuben Studdard.
Wasn't Studdard the second one, though?
Second or third.
He
it
had
was
a
early
smash
on.
Hit late high school, early college.
He did.
And we loved it, and then I didn't hear from him again.
Yeah, than Clarkson, it's usually one of the finalists that gets there but doesn't win that actually has the bigger careers.
Like, did Lambert win?
Because
no, he
didn't win. Daughtry didn't win.
Okay.
What about Groban? Wasn't Groban on one of those? Isn't there a Groban something?
Groban.
Who's Groban?
I don't
you guys watch
so.
Groban? Listen to Groban?
I've heard some Groban before.
You're a Groban fan?
I don't seek it out, but I've heard it before.
All right. American I'm having Idol. Issues with the YouTube.
Are you?
Josh Groban.
Josh Groban.
No, he was not a contestant on American Idol. Never mind.
Well, we had I don't know. The cameras now are for... I hate this thing.
It's going to be all right.
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Happy Tuesday.
Says I have to restart the whole damn computer.
Well, we got NFL factoids today. We will get to that. Our ticker's going to be some landing audio. It's rivalry week here on The Fan. I don't know if you've heard that before.
Rivalry week.
And he talked a little bit about Washington. He's also got USC fans. He got their panties in a twist.
They're very upset at Dan.
Good
Dan
for
Lanning
him.
Right now.
As if, like, you're
How
surprised.
Dare you do this?
Right.
How
dare
did
you
give a motivational speech before the game?
How dare you point out the truth about us? We're living 20 years ago.
By the way. For those who did not watch, which I'm sure neither of you did, it came out last night. Solid Ducks versus them. There is a clip I just will point you to it about just over 3 minutes. And the guy on the field for USC, who I actually noticed because I sit in the press boxes right behind the opposing sideline. And I noticed a staffer on USC that was like talking a lot of trick, going out on the field, doing all sorts of weird stuff. Before the game, he was out in the middle of the field basically doing, you know, all these fight-on signs to the Oregon sideline, and the video catches him, and we have now discovered that that is the associate athletic director for USC.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, rough weekend for that guy. And they Ducks versus them cameras caught him pregame.
You can't do
out
that.
On the field as Oregon was taking the field, doing like smashing the O on his knee
dude,
and stuff. Like,
you
dude, you're an associate athletic director,
oh
man.
Oh, God.
What are we doing here?
At least be a strength coach.
Yes.
Jeez.
It's one thing for somebody on the staff or, you know,
I guess.
Hanger on, former player. That's one thing. An associate athletic director, that's an embarrassing look.
Well, we got a busy show today, and let's get it going next. The 49ers win. And a little bit of fallout from that, and then also a follow-up on something we didn't talk about. We'll get to that next. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. I think we've got YouTube up. I got a thumbs up on that one.
So
there we go. I see your pictures.
Well done, Swag. Okay. Well done.
Good job.
You know what you did there in that break? You slayed.
We'll get to NFL factoids. It is a Tuesday. We'll get a little bit of a peekaboo. Oregon, Washington. Got some landing audio to get to.
It's that weird week where you're previewing this kind of it. We got one more show to preview the game, and then we're off. So you got to kind of jam it all in, a little preview that we don't normally do on a Tuesday into a Tuesday.
So I wanted to start the show with Monday Night Football, which was pretty ugly last night.
That game sucked.
Wasn't great.
No.
49ers win. They go to 8-4.
Yes.
I think they kind of showed you who Carolina really is. They didn't play well. I mean, their defense played well, but Brock Purdy threw three picks, and that didn't matter. They even had another fumble, and they somehow recovered the fumble. But
Bryce Young threw a couple of picks on his own, including one in the end zone that didn't help their cause very much.
Yeah. But, you know, nothing to question on Bryce Young. Can't wait to see him get the $180 million contract.
Yeah, what are they going to do there?
They're going to pay him.
You got to move on.
No, I think they're just totally cool being this. I think they view this season as a smashing success.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, I'll gladly eat that slice of crow because I'm not a believer. If Bryce Young was 5 inches taller, I'd be all in because he's everything I love about a quarterback. If you listen to him talk, the way he leads, like, I think he's got a lot of the good stuff. He just doesn't have the physicals.
No.
And that's the problem.
No.
So they lose last night. They're not out of the playoff picture, but it took a massive hit. Now we'll see where the Bucs go. The Bucs got good news on Baker's MIR yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he plays, maybe they can continue to float just above water and win their division, but the Panthers are still alive in that division because of how bad it is. I want to look at the side of the Niners here. They're 8-4. They're behind the Packers for the sixth seed.
Yep.
Because the Packers have the tie. The Seahawks are also out of the, division leaders, obviously, because the Rams are having a stellar year. And right now you would have Niners at Eagles. You'd get Packers at Bears. And you get Seahawks at Bucks.
That'd be a hell of a first round of the NFL playoffs.
But I do want to ask, you know that I have said it's a great coaching season by Shanahan and Saleh, but I also view it as they are going to easily lose in the wild card weekend. Now, in football, anything can happen, as we jokingly said in last segment about the previews. But I just don't buy them. I think they're fraudulent, and I think they're a team that's well coached.
And they're taking care of the teams on their schedule they need to get the wins they need.
Yeah, I mean, what we said about San Francisco coming into the year, I thought they were a playoff team this year, and some of the doom and gloom in preseason was a little overblown. They tend to have a bit of a Timbers vibe to them. We could, like, do that to the Timbers every year early in the season. Oh, this team's the worst team of all time. And then you look up and you're like, oh, look at that. They're still in the playoffs. The Niners have a little bit of that going into every season for them. Of look how old they are. Oh, no, Brock Purdy got paid. Now they can't pay anybody. It's a lot of doom and gloom for an organization that has done essentially nothing but win, sans a Super Bowl, everything possible over the last handful of years under Kyle Shanahan. But the primary reason that we thought the Niners could be a playoff team this year was because of how easy their schedule is. The next week they get the Browns on the road, and then they get the Titans at home. Like, the rest of their schedule is still very easy. Like, they're going to be a playoff team. I would be shocked if they're not, because they've got some pieces back. Although, you could argue you didn't really want Brock Purdy out there throwing the ball to the other team three times in the first half. Really, their only challenging games remaining are on the road at Indy, which is a Monday night game the week before Christmas, which should be a really fun game. And then you get the Seahawks at home in the final week of the regular season.
See, this is where I'll push back just a little bit. They did win that game, and they won it by double digits, but that was very uncomfortable for the first half.
Yeah.
If that's who they're going to be, and I have no reason to believe it's not, I don't look at that. Like, I think they could lose at Cleveland. Well, I think they could lose at home to the Bears.
I don't think Cleveland's going to score a lot of points on them. I think defensively, Saleh's doing a great job.
Are they going to score on that defense?
Probably not a ton, no, but they're also a week removed from hanging 41 on the Cardinals. That game was essentially over at halftime.
But the Cardinal and the Brown defense.
Not saying that, but I'm saying the Panthers, it's not like the Panthers have a juggernaut. They just had a weird first half game. I don't think Brock Purdy's going to throw three picks and a half of football very often. If he does, then yeah, they very easily could lose to the Browns or the Titans. I tend to agree with you in the playoff picture. I don't know if there's anything that they could do in the regular season that would change my mind. Maybe if they went on the road at Indy on Monday night and they beat Seattle at home and Brock's playing at a high level at that point.
Yeah, if you end the season like that, we have
okay,
to change our
then
minds.
There's a bit of a, all right, maybe they can go on a run,
especially
here.
With the way Philly's playing offensively.
Yes, it's not like the Rams seem like a wagon right now. Mm-hmm. I do think there are questions about Darnold after the way he played in that Rams game and throwing all the picks that he threw. Of like, all right, you get him in a big game. Do you trust him? He's got to kind of prove it at that point. Philly's offense can't score essentially on anybody right now, it feels like, and they got locker room dynamics that are weird. Green Bay's offense is clunky. Is Detroit even going to be there? Mm-hmm. Do the Bears win the division? Like, there's a lot of questions that might lead to a pathway of them winning a couple of games, but if you go through the list of guys that they have lost and then tell me, despite all of that, they end up winning north of 10 games and making the playoffs, that's a phenomenal year for San Francisco.
I agree 100%. Even if I don't buy them as a playoff contender in the NFC, I think making the playoffs with what this season has been would be a phenomenal job. Did you see the Ayuk news over the weekend?
I did, man. That's...
We didn't get to that yesterday. That was really bizarre. He basically, by all reports, is never going to play another snap for the Niners.
Nope. He forfeited all of his guaranteed money in his contract because he just didn't want to show up to stuff.
I guess I haven't listened to maybe the latest or whatever, but when I last read about that, which was yesterday, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense publicly.
No.
That's a team, like, he grew up as a Niner fan.
He did.
So he's playing for his childhood favorite team.
And it's not like it's a bad organization.
They paid him.
They gave him the contract he wanted.
He tore his ACL, and then he's decided, like, I'm kind of done with it. Shanahan's been just, you know, the optimist of, I hope maybe this thing will turn around, maybe he'll show up. But by all accounts, it sounds like Brandon Ayuk's never going to play another snap for the Niners.
They got to void a lot of the guaranteed money. So he's losing. I think it's still going to hurt the 49ers on the cap. All that stuff's very confusing to me. But he's essentially done in a 49er uniform, which is just wild. But I think part of it, too, for them is the trust that they have in their other young wide receiver. I know he hasn't been dominant this year, and he's missed some time himself in Ricky Pearsall. But I think there's belief in that building that he can replace that role in the offense.
He hasn't done a whole lot the last couple
weeks. He has not. He's only played in six games this year, so I get it. Like, he's been in and out of the lineup. But there are flashes when he is healthy that shows to me that this is a guy that can be an elite wide receiver if he can stay on the field. And you got to remember, he lost almost his entire rookie year, too. So how many games has he even played in his career?
That's not that many, right? Because I don't think he played any last year.
Didn't he come back at the end of the year last year? Maybe
you're
I'm
gonna
wrong.
Have to refresh my memory on that.
He ended up playing 11 games last
11.
Year.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So he's played a total of one season in his NFL career. So I mean, he's still incredibly young, but I think he shows flashes of a big play guy and the speed and the contested catchability that has the Niners excited about his future. And so I got this one wide receiver who, remember, even before he signed the contract, it was an absolute.
Well, he wanted to be traded,
wanted out,
and I just kind of wonder. I think if John Lynch. Not that you can foresee giving a guy a contract and then him not wanting to show up, But, I mean, I'd imagine John Lynch wishes he would have traded him.
Yeah, just get wash your hands of the
like
situation.
Send him to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, get that first-round pick or whatever they were going to get in return and move on.
Ask DK Metcalf what it's like to be in Pittsburgh. George Pickens has more receiving yards than all of the Steeler receivers.
It's honestly been one of the best offseason moves any NFL team has made, and that's saying something because it's the Cowboys, and they usually do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
They took a roll of the dice on George Pickens.
It's worked.
It's worked out for them. They got a two-headed monster at wide receiver. I'm with you, man. He's done there, and I think if you're – the 49ers organization, you kind of slap yourself on the wrist and say, damn it, that was stupid. We shouldn't have done that. We kind of saw the writing on the wall here, but this has become too much nonsense and too much of a distraction. You got to get rid of him.
Yeah. They sometimes win despite themselves.
They do.
Like, they've done some really stupid stuff. Hargrave contract was
horrible.
An all-time ball drop.
The Trey Lance trade's one of the worst quarterback draft trades we've ever seen.
Absolutely horrific.
And it doesn't matter.
Javon Kinlaw, what a bad first. Solomon Thomas, right. Like, it's so weird how they've had success. It's all been late-round guys.
Yes.
And then, obviously, acquiring Christian McCaffrey helps a great deal because he's
been... Trent Williams.
Trent Williams. Like, that stuff has paid off. But falling into Brock Purdy...
It's all luck, man.
You know what I mean?
It's all
having
luck.
Having that hit is just
falling,
like,
falling ass backwards into maybe a franchise quarterback. I know they're not feeling great after last night. The other thing with them is he just got, like... I want to be fair to him because I know people were very critical of Brock. Like, how many games, how many snaps has he played this year? He missed so much time early in the season.
But did you see his numbers on throws 15 yards after his second pick? It was one touchdown and seven picks of throws 15 yards plus down the field.
Not good.
That's terrible.
I'm just defending it in the current moment of let's give him a couple of games to kind of get his feet underneath him.
Yeah.
And then if he's still doing that at the end of the year, by all means.
All right, Niners win. They stay alive in the playoff chase, and the Panthers fall back to 6-6. Let's get into NFL Factoid Tuesday next. All right, we'll get to college football, but it's Tuesday. It's time to get to our NFL Factoid Tuesday. Welcome in. Good morning. During the break here. The gobbler and the gravy.
Hey.
Whoa.
Lowest passer rating single season last 5 years, Anthony Richardson, 61.6. 61.7, J.J. McCarthy. Lowest passer rating on third down in a single season since 2000.
Uh-oh.
Mark Brunell, 32. Mm. Chad Hutchinson, 31.9. Ooh. Cordell Stewart, 30.4. J.J. McCarthy, 25.4.
That is so bad.
They literally have...
That's so
huge
bad.
Conundrum on their hands. And now they're saying he has a concussion.
Yes, can't play this week.
And I'm all for player safety, but it seems real convenient that he can't play against a vaunted Seahawk defense.
I mean, we're witnessing one of the worst beginnings of an NFL career we've ever seen. When you're in the same statistical categories as Anthony Richardson, at least some people held out hope on him because he's a one-in-a-kind athlete, like a unicorn freak who can run and throw the ball 800 yards from his knees. J.J. McCarthy doesn't possess any of those traits, and he's not good at throwing the football either. There's no conundrum here. You move on. That's what you do.
Shedeur Sanders became the first Browns rookie quarterback to get a win in his debut since 1995.
This stat was blowing me away when they kept showing it on the broadcast. What was it, 17 in a row, I think?
Yeah.
Browns quarterbacks have made their debut and lost the game.
And look, he was fine.
He wasn't amazing.
He wasn't terrible. He had some good throws, but just amazing to see that kind of stat exist.
Yeah, they should beat teams like that because their defense is very good and they dominated the game. You make a couple of plays, you're going to win, and that's what happened.
Speaking of the defense being good, most sacks in a season in Cleveland history. 2020, Myles Garrett with 12. 2001, Jameer Miller with 13. 2018, Myles Garrett, 13.5. 1984, Reggie Camp, 14. 2024, Myles Garrett. 2023, Myles Garrett. 2021, Myles Garrett. 2022, Myles Garrett. 2025, Myles Garrett. Catching a theme there?
I am catching a theme there. Very good defensive player. Very talented, that Myles Garrett. Is that what I'm reading?
He's the greatest player in their franchise's history.
Yes. Yes.
17 sacks. Unbelievable.
I mean, you got to go back a long time.
Brown.
Jim Brown's the only one. But how long did Jim Brown play in the NFL for?
Nine seasons, I believe.
I'm off to a bad start with remembering stuff.
Well, he won the Super Bowl or the NFL champ, whatever they...
No, it's Jim Brown. You're right. I'm sorry. I'll take
but
it back.
But I also...
I was thinking
it's
modern era.
It's technically two different franchises.
Yeah, I was thinking modern era.
Jim Brown is unbelievable. He's an all-time great. You're talking about maybe the best edge rusher we've ever seen. The most dominant edge. I mean, I don't think that's as dumb as you're making it out.
Well,
to be.
You said the name, and I went, oh, yeah.
Jim well, I just wanted, for context, I knew somebody was going to text me. What about Jim Brown? What about Jim Brown?
Ed
immediately.
Jim Brown. Okay.
You'll get it.
He's
all
tied.
Time great.
He's
I was
tied.
Feeling, I was feeling my age last night, so.
What does that mean?
Well, I sent you.
Oh, your Johnny Carson.
The Johnny
stuff.
Carson. It was his 100th, would have been his 100th birthday yesterday.
Well, you're not even that old, though. You didn't watch Jim Brown play football.
No.
He retired in 1965.
You had to think about that
you
for a
did,
minute.
You did, for a moment. His last year in the NFL was 1965.
No, I caught Jim Brown trying to be a movie star. That was yes. right in my heyday.
I did catch Jim Brown movie star Mars Attacks.
We got that, too. By the way, they've both played 9 years. This is Miles Garrett's ninth year, and Jim Brown played 9 years.
I'll post that as a poll question. Who is the greatest Cleveland Brown, Jim Brown or Miles Garrett?
I think that's a fair question to
okay.
ask.
Dak Prescott became the all-time passing leader for the Cowboys on Sunday.
How about that? I didn't see that pop up on the screen when it happened.
He passed Tony Romo.
Tony Romo!
Romo!
Tony Romo!
Stats are so misleading.
Jeff!
How about this? Wait, what does that mean?
Ooh, he's going old school on your ass.
Well, but Tony Romo's not close to being the greatest quarterback in Cowboy history.
Who's, who's greater at Cowboy, Dak or Tony?
That doesn't matter.
What I do mean, you know? Don't play that
no,
game.
No, play the game.
Answer the question.
Who's the better Cowboy?
Who's the better Cowboy?
I think it's Dak.
It's Dak.
It's Dak.
He's had his problems.
He's such a pro Cowboy. Like, you cannot like Dak in a big moment. Listen to Dak Prescott talk. Watch Dak walk in with a Cowboy hat. Like, he's all about being a Cowboy guy.
Also, not liking him in big moments. Let's not act like Tony Romo didn't botch a PAT kick and lose a playoff game in Seattle, like, or field goal, whatever it was.
He also moved Dak Prescott to 36-9 against the NFC East.
Dude, there was a stat
he kinda owns the division.
He has not lost a home division game, I want to say, since, like, 2019.
Until the Eagles
I was blown
got
away.
Good, that division was the worst.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Washington was terrible for a long time. The Giants at the back end of
win
Eli.
Win a Super Bowl and then suck.
Yeah.
36-9 is pretty remarkable.
I'm pretty sure I'm sure a Cowboy fan will hear that, but they had that on the broadcast that he hadn't lost a home division game in like 5 or 6 years, and I was like, what? Why didn't I know that? I would have gambled on the Cowboys.
Well, he was injured there, too, for
that's
a
while. That's true. That's true.
So,
they also almost had Brady drop an N-bomb on the broadcast.
That was close. Flirted with it.
Ended with an E.T., and then was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Not what I said. Volkswagen and I did that on the show yesterday. We missed his. Did you know what he did yesterday?
It was the very first update.
6:30 update yesterday.
What'd you do?
He didn't say ducks.
Oregon.
Yeah.
Well.
What?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I know. That's
one,
what I said.
Because I didn't freak out and I kept going and did not.
He dumped it and kept moving.
Alert people's attention to it. But yeah, it was. So it was ducks, and then I had the score 42.
Oh no!
And I was
you
staring at
them.
The 42.
Oh no!
I knew.
That's
I went
a nightmare
back,
scenario.
I replayed the film without replaying the film, and I knew where my eyes were.
No.
And yeah, I got ahead of myself. And
you think you said the S bomb?
I definitely did.
Yeah.
See, I heard it, and it didn't sound like it to me, but
I mean, we'll just move on.
We did. It was a clear slip of the tongue. Just go.
Welcome back
in. Talking about Junction City.
Yes.
Sprague and the Sailors here live on 105.1 The Fan.
That's the town I'm talking about.
Last one, and then we'll carry over. Caleb Williams so far in the month of November, 4-0, 7 touchdowns, no picks.
He's playing really good football right now, man. Really good
completion
football.
Percentage needs to be better.
Yeah.
That's the one area I would absolutely say he's
and
not
ball
good.
Security.
Ball security.
Loosey-goosey in the pocket a little
bit,
but those are things that he can work. He's having a good year. I don't know what his ceiling is as an NFL quarterback, but when you look at a lot of these guys early on, Bryce Young, J.J. McCarthy, there's a lot of guys that you're saying, dude, I don't want anything to do with these guys. It's my franchise quarterback. Caleb
Penix
Williams
has got a torn ACL.
Penix, you're terrified. Like, that is not Caleb Williams right now. There is a floor there. Now the question becomes, how good can he get?
More NFL factoids next on 105.1 The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have a lot to get to in the second hour. Let's dive back into our factoids. Poll questions up, by the way. Who's the better all-time Cleveland Browns player, Jim Brown or Miles Garrett?
Listeners submitting Joe Thomas.
No, I thought of JT, also, but Garrett's better than Joe Thomas.
I agree with you.
That was the only reason I didn't put his name in there. He's in the Ring of Honor stuff of Cleveland Brown football.
Yes, he is.
But it's between Garrett and Brown, I would assume.
Somebody said that Suk pointed out yesterday that J.J. McCarthy ranks 851 out of 852 quarterbacks in EPA. 852 was Jamarcus Russell.
He's quite literally having
the worst
one of
ever.
The worst ever. Yeah, it's not it's not close.
It's not just like, hey, that was kind of bad, let's make fun of him. It's like we're legitimately watching one of the worst quarterback performances we've ever seen.
I have a hard time believing it's going to turn around. When he crashes and burns, look, I don't wish for anything bad to happen to people, even if my opinion on them is wrong or right. That is going to be the all-time. Literally anybody with eyeballs told you not to do that, and they did it.
Really smart organization, too. Yeah. That's why it's so confusing.
He's a winner, though. Cowboys scored 24 unanswered points to beat the Eagles 24-21. It's tied with the 2003 Buccaneers for the largest blown lead in a loss by a defending champion.
Whoa. I mean, that game was over. Everybody had the same thought. 21-0. Eagles offense is moving. Dallas couldn't do anything. They were shooting themselves in the foot. That thing was done.
Stafford is now the odds-on favorite to win the MVP. He now has 25 passing touchdowns without an interception in his last 8 games. That's the most touchdowns without a pick in an 8-game span in NFL history, passing multiple 22-0 spans by the GOAT, Thomas Brady, in 2010.
Just kind of hang on is all he has to do. I don't know if there's anything anybody can do to catch up to him. To have 30 touchdowns and 2 picks, just that split alone is exponentially better than essentially everybody else in the league.
I traded him in fantasy. Good move.
At least you got Jameis, though. At least Jameis putting points
Jameis
on the board
gave me
for you guys.
My best
guy.
Quarterback performance of the year. Sunday was a big win for the Chiefs versus Indy. Did you know the 11-point comeback is the largest fourth quarter comeback in Mahomes' career?
It's because he never has to come back. They're always winning. How many chances has he even had to come back from an 11-point fourth quarter deficit?
Last time Chiefs came back from double digits in the fourth quarter of a game, thank you, Brandon, for doing it to yourself. The 2019 Super Bowl against my Niners.
Yes, yes. Did two of them. They should have won. God, the alternate history of Mahomes loses those games.
It's going to be funny when the Rams win their second in the Stafford-McVay era and Shanahan has lost
still
two.
Nothing.
And I'm like, yes, yes. Nice. KC's playoff chances, by the way, jumped to 65% following that win.
Yeah, the two times the Rams find a way to get to the Super Bowl, the Chiefs aren't there. The two times the Niners go to the Super Bowl, Mahomes is waiting for him on the other sideline.
Sunday was Detroit's first comeback win after trailing by double digits this season and their 14th straight win following a loss, which is the third longest streak in NFL history.
Yeah, and didn't cover the spread, but they know they're going to bounce back and win after a loss at least. So they got that going for them. Juicy, juicy matchup to start Thanksgiving, man. You get Lions and Packers in Detroit. We remember how the game went in week one. I can't wait for that one.
Jahmyr Gibbs rushed for 219 yards and 2 touchdowns, had another 45 yards and a touchdown through the air. Both of his rushing touchdowns went at least 45 yards, which ties him with Barry Sanders for the most in a game in Lions history. Gibbs has scored 44 touchdowns in his career, which is tied with Randy Moss for the second most by any player before their 24th birthday.
Wow.
In NFL history, trailing only Barry Sanders, who had 47. Gibbs won't turn 24 until March, so he's got the last six games of the year to try to match it. He's also the seventh player with 10-plus rushing touchdowns in each of his first three seasons. The others, Earl Campbell, Eric Dickerson, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson. What do they all have in common? Hall of Fame.
Yep. He's off to a Hall of Fame start. I am pro new overtime rules. I like giving both teams a chance to possess the ball. However, I argued against myself when he had that touchdown run, because that would have been a sick walk-off play. Game over, 79 yards, 69 yards, whatever it was. Touchdown, game over, and said they still had to go get a stop.
Lamar Jackson improved to 13-4 in games where he throws zero touchdowns. It's the best record by any quarterback since the start of the tracking at 1950. The Steelers were 4-2 after week 7. They were first in the North, and they were three games ahead of the last place Ravens. After two turnovers on Sunday, Pittsburgh now has 7 turnovers since Week 8, which is 26th in the NFL.
Don't really know what to make of the Ravens right now. They're probably going to win the division.
That was a funky game on Sunday.
It's back-to-back weeks, though, man. Like, I know the Browns have a very good defense. I get all of that. But let's go back a week ago. It wasn't like they blew out the Browns in that game. The J.J. McCarthy, they beat the Vikings the week before that, and that was a one-possession game late, and McCarthy was playing in that game. They get the Bengals at home. The spread's nearly a touchdown. I would imagine Burrow's back this week, but who knows? We'll have to wait and see as the week goes on. They're going to probably win the division, but I don't know if anybody's scared to play the Ravens.
Smith and Jigba on pace for over 2,000 receiving yards despite playing for the most run-heavy team in the NFL. No player in the Super Bowl era has ever led the NFL in receiving yards while playing for the team with the lowest pass rate in the league.
Every time they chuck it up to him, you just know what's going to happen.
He's going to catch it or he's wide open.
It's going to be a touchdown or a massive play.
The Eagles have played 3 scoreless halves this season. Only the Titans have had more. That's a funky team over there in Philly.
And you know what Philly actually has on their offense? They have talent. You know what Tennessee doesn't have on their offense? Talent.
Jameis Winston became the second player in the Super Bowl era to record at least 300 passing yards and 30 receiving yards in the same game, joining Tom Brady, who did it in 2015.
God, that guy's everywhere.
He also became the second player in the last 40 seasons to average at least 10. I think I cut this off. 10 yards per pass attempt, 30 yards per reception, and account for 3 touchdowns. The other player, Jerry Rice. Winston was a goat on Sunday. He was a goat.
He's a gift that keeps on giving, man. He almost ate a dub on Sunday. We'll see if he can this week.
Last one for you, and then we'll get to the second hour. Marcus Jones, the stellar all-pro DB for the Pats. He had a pick 6 Sunday for New England. He became the second player in the Super Bowl era to register multiple pick sixes and multiple punt return touchdowns in a year, joining
Prime Time.
Deion Sanders.
Prime Time.
There you go.
That was well done. Well
NFL
done.
Factoid Tuesday.
I enjoyed it as always.
As we do every Tuesday at 6:30. We have a loaded second hour. We'll get a little peekaboo of the Oregon-Washington stuff. Our ticker guest will be Dan Lanning. We got Dan Lanning audio to get to in the second hour. Hour number 2 will roll on. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.